Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You got your weekend? You wanted your weekend? There's your weekend. All righty. Be careful on the way home. Things have not been great, of course, out there on the roadways. Jim Bohannon in for Bob McLean for this Friday. Good Friday. Yes, indeed, the 19th of April. Your taxes are all paid, or your refund, well, I hope you got one. This is 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, and we're also at 106.3WORD.com. Jim Bohannon in for Bob McLean, where the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307. The Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063. We have Lou in Campobello calling in this afternoon at 9 past 5. Hello, Lou.
Hello, Jim. You know how ridiculous this Mueller thing is?
How ridiculous is it?
Jim, let's say you tell me I killed your cousin Beth.
Okay.
You get your whole family to call the police and say, I saw Lou kill my cousin Beth.
Yeah.
They start an investigation. There's no evidence to link me to it, but they start an investigation. They're making my life miserable at work, everywhere. And then, you know, I'm finally getting to the point I tell my family, you know, I've had enough with Jim. I'm going to take it. And they say, no, don't. It'll all come out. Well, you know, surprisingly enough, Jim, at Easter Sunday, Cousin Beth shows up at your house to eat with all the press and everybody there. And I say, I told you I didn't kill her. And they say, yeah, you're right. But you know what? You impeded in the investigation, and we're still going to charge you for that's how ridiculous it is. The initial crime, he has absolutely no guilt, but they want to charge him with impeding justice or subverting justice anyway. It's that ridiculous.
Now, that's a perfect analogy drawn by Lou right there, because, in fact, in his scenario, of course, how could you impede the investigation of the killing of my cousin Beth, who actually is feeling fine, thank you, when, in fact, she showed up at my house for Easter dinner? How could he impede an investigation of a crime that was never committed? Well, that is pretty much what we've had here, and that's a really a brilliant example, because it's a lot easier to follow that simple process, that scenario, than it is the twisted and convoluted turns of this Trump collusion scenario. That's really very well put, Lou.
Well, you know, I was kind of hoping, look, they're going to impeach him. They're going to keep trying until they do. Impeach him, vote in the House to impeach him, block it in the Senate, and then move on. I mean, they're not going to stop. It's no longer about are you guilty. The sentence has already been predetermined. When he beat Hillary Clinton, they wanted to impeach him. So you know what? Impeach him in the House. It'll get refuted in the Senate, and we can all go back to the Democrats doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I'm afraid that pretty much would be what we would be facing. I have no problem with going ahead with that very process. Sure, impeach him. Try to convict him. It won't happen. And not just because
That's
of partisanship,
right.
Because there's nothing there. There's no there. But sure,
That's
go ahead
right.
with that. But you know what's going to happen then, Lou? I mean, they're just going to go right back to more subpoenas, more investigations, more histrionics, more shouting, more table pounding, and they're going to keep it going right through to November of 2020. That's the point.
But don't you think some of the Democrats themselves will be saying, this is ridiculous. Cousin Beth is standing right there. What are you people doing? Or do you think every Democrat is going to say, well, you know, he did impede the investigation. He was acting very foolish when we tried to talk to him. Yeah, no kidding, because he was saying he doesn't even know Beth and he didn't do anything to her.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there are, I suspect, frankly, Lou, there are a few Democrats who to themselves, very quietly, maybe to a few close friends, would say, you know, this is really ridiculous. But then the friends would say, yeah, but you know that Trump is evil. Oh, yeah, he's evil, yeah. We got to get him. And so they will tend to rationalize, I think, and overlook this. But you're right. They're not all so stupid as to fail to see the scenario you just outlined. There are any number of those who could see it, and I think they would still wind up rationalizing, but it's okay. We know he's bad, and we'll get him for anything we can. I really believe that that's true. They'll keep trying. Well,
I think they have to. They don't have a faltering economy. The job market is booming. I think the United States, the dollar is getting stronger, and I think jobs are coming back to the United States. Other than impeaching him and telling him what a horrible person is, what is their platform? What's it going to be?
That's a really good question. They're going to have to figure that out, and that will be determined, of course, by the number of people who vote for the standard, straight down the line, too liberal for me, liberalism, and the off-the-wall, weirdo, super liberalism. That's what's facing the Democrats in their voting coming up in 2020, and I'll be very curious to see how they vote. I am not convinced that they're going to be willing, that is to say the whole party, and not the leadership, the whole party, to go that far off the deep end. We'll see. We'll see.
We can only hope. Thank you, Jim.
We can. Thank you very much, Lou. Appreciate your call. 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Advantage talk line. 1-800-347-1063 and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Yeah, that's the real conundrum for Democrats. And I'll tell you, it's a conundrum for Republicans, too, quite frankly. On the one hand, I would rather run against the super liberal crazies. But on the other hand, I'm not convinced that they will necessarily lose. I think they're more likely to lose. But what if a Bernie got the nomination and won the presidency? I doubt that he would. He might. That would be tragic. Again, there is a palpable difference between a Joe Biden and a Bernie Sanders, I think, in terms of where they stand today, even despite that poll back in 2007. I'd rather have Joe, if I had to have one or the other, than I would Bernie, who is a really off-the-wall true believer. In fact, gun control votes, and Bernie's not been that big for gun control. The main reason he didn't finish first, I think, is the most liberal senator. 'Tis 5:15 on 106.3 WORD, Jimbo for Bobby Mack. Yeah, here we are. Here we are. It's 5:21 on this Friday afternoon. Good Friday, I might add. And we hope that it is a joyous and a safe Easter weekend for you. 106.3 WORD is the Upstate's talk station, and we're also at 106.3WORD.com. Delighted to be with you today. Jim Bohannon again, sitting in for the Bobster with the day off. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Some texters here. Investigate the investigators, says one texter, right to the point and true. Another goes into greater detail. Jim, I think that Trump and supporters need to start asking, when we investigate, should we use the standard of law Comey used for Hillary or the standard that they wanted to use against Trump? We should use the correct one. The correct answer is C. Both A and B are inadequate. Obviously, the standard that Comey used against Hillary in that famous news conference of his, in which he outlined perfectly why Hillary Clinton deserved to be indicted. I listened to that thinking, wow, he's going to do it. And then he said, but no reasonable prosecutor would do this. Well, whatever. That's not the right standard. So A is out. B, the standard they wanted to use against Trump, make it up? No. I don't want to make up stuff against the people out there who began this investigation. I don't, for example, the people who went before the FISA court and lied. I don't want to make up stuff against them. I want to nail them with the truth. So the answer, of course, and I'm sure the texter would agree, the answer is C, none of the above. We use the actual standard of what really happened. That's enough. I mean, we all know what really happened. Either, one of two things. Either the FBI flat out lied to the FISA judge. We can vouch for the veracity of the Steele dossier, yes, sir, which is the most likely scenario. Or B, still possible, that the FISA judge just had his rubber stamp mentality going, boom, 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 and simply didn't pay any attention. I doubt that. My guess is that there is somebody in the FBI who went before that judge and lied to a federal judge and said, yeah, you can put a lot of veracity in what the Steele dossier says, so that's why we need that warrant. That's what I am guessing we will find. But let's really find out. And as regards the impeachment vote, of course, we've got the House Majority Leader, Steny Hoyer, number two to Pelosi, saying impeachment is not worthwhile at this point. And he's probably right from the Democratic point of view, although I do wish they would. But now you got Congressman Elijah Cummings. He certainly is a man of some power. He chairs the House Oversight Committee, Democrat from Baltimore. And he appeared on Morning Joe on MSDNC and said that the House may, in fact, weigh impeaching the president, but they must first get the full picture of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Okay. To quote Cummings, the president's conduct is at least 100 times worse than that of former President Bill Clinton. That's Elijah Cummings, okay? He then goes on to say, we've got to go against this. We've got to expose it. A lot of people keep asking about the question of impeachment. We may very well come to that very soon. But right now, let's make sure we understand what Mueller was doing, understand what Barr was doing, and see the report in an unredacted form and all the underlying documents that that would go with it. So that's one approach. And, of course, you go down the food chain, down to the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's, and you get down that far on the food chain, and they just want to impeach, period. Impeach, impeach, impeach. I would rather hope they go that route. At the moment, they're going Steny Hoyer's route, and we'll see. Again, the extent to which the Democrats are going to be calculating, that is to say, this is what we got. Do we go down this road, or are they going to be just in such a lather, virtually, literally frothing at the mouth? I would not be surprised to see that if Maxine Waters, for example, that they just said, what the hell, we're going for it. I'll be curious to see what they do. Cummings has put forward from the Democrats' perspective what would be the rational approach. Be sure you got your ducks in a row before you proceed here. But I'll be curious. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they're going to do. I'm really not. There's a tug of war there. And this is pretty much the same people on this issue of impeachment. Pretty much the same people who were involved in the tug of war about how far left-wing the Democrats go. The Green New Deal crowd are pretty much the people who want to plunge right ahead, take their chances, and impeach the president. And again, there's a lot to be said for those folks. Do it. Become the voice of the Democrats. I want every American, when they see AOC, to think Democrat. And I have urged her to keep speaking out. Don't let anybody intimidate you. Keep speaking out, Alexandria, because every time you open your big, uninformed yap, you wind up with a few thousand more voters who are switching over to the Republican side of things. So I'm hopeful that they will take that path. Don't know, but I am seriously hopeful. So keep your fingers crossed. But Cummings, at least in what he's saying publicly, and again, he's a power among House Democrats. They're going to weigh this and measure it and see what they've got what they think are the goods. Now, of course, they're not talking here about whether or not the president actually committed a high crime or a misdemeanor, which is, of course, the constitutional standard that exists for impeachment of anyone, presidents and judges, what have you. I have always said that, in honesty, the standard for impeachment is pretty much what Gerry Ford said when he was the House Minority Leader before he became Vice President and President. He said, an impeachable offense is whatever a majority of the House says it is at a given point in time. And I think in practical terms, he's correct. And virtually anything would do for the majority, I think, of the House of Representatives to impeach the president. What's a high crime and misdemeanor? anything, anything that gets Trump. I think that'll be the standard that they use and the standard that will prevail, ultimately. I really do. I see them going that way. I don't think they can help themselves. I'm not sure that that's going to be at all beneficial to them. My guess is not. But since that's my guess, I'm hoping that they do it. Yes, impeach him. Go. Impeach him. Move on it. Impeach him. Do it. Absolutely. I think it will wind up costing the Democrats votes in 2020, and that's about all right now that matters. They're not going to convict him. They're not going to remove the president. Go for it. Yes, impeach him. So, again, I find myself on the side of AOC and opposed to Steny Hoyer. Impeach him. Do it. Let's see how this breaks out. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Time now, 5:29. Good to have you with us today. Look at that, 25 before 6 o'clock on a good Friday afternoon. The weekend beckons, a special weekend. We hope it's very special for you. As we go to the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063. We got Jimmy in Spartanburg. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi. If Trump wins re-election and the Republicans win back the House, what are your chances of seeing the Democrats going into a bit of a civil war or a breaking off deal?
Well, there's no question about the fact that that whoever won the presidential nomination, that branch of the Democrats will be in bad disarray. If that branch loses the White House and they also lose the House, and of course the head of the ticket always leads things. If the ultra liberals win the nomination and they lose to Trump, then the old hands, the old Democrats will say, "I told you so, told you so." Can't let those kids go around messing us up, and that would put the super liberal movement in a great deal of decline, at least temporarily. I would agree. Conversely, let's say that it isn't one of the far lefters, I mean, the far lefters, and it's somebody who is considered moderate, like a Joe Biden, for example. And then he loses to Trump, and they lose the House. Then the Bernie Sanders crew would say, "We told you once and for all, the only way to win is to go all-line socialist." So the short answer, I guess, Jimmy, is that whoever loses, if the Democrats, in fact, lose the House and the presidency, whichever branch of the Democrat Party loses, they lose big, major league big.
Well, it looks like they're having a silent civil war. They're trying to keep a lid on things. That's what it looks like to me.
Uh-huh. I agree. I agree with you that it is. And so far, they've managed to keep it lid pretty much on there. But let me tell you something. When this whole thing starts to bubble over, and it's not long in coming, if it doesn't happen before then, it's going to be happening when those debates occur. You got all these Democrats. Now, Biden will become the 19th Democrat to declare next Wednesday. I guess they're thinking that he's going to do that. And all these people desperate for oxygen, trying to get traction in the presidential race. You got everybody and his uncle running for president. Again, I have to watch, and you might as well. It might be fun. The first two Democratic presidential debates on MSNBC, Wednesday, June 26th, and Thursday, June the 27th. It'll be out of Miami. And that's when you're going to start seeing the differences. Desperate for any kind of room, any margin, any oxygen in the room, they're going to start hitting each other. So-and-so, too conservative. So-and-so, too liberal. And that's when it's going to start. Once the debates start, then this silent fight that you talk about, and I think you're right, it's going to become a lot less silent. And after that, Jimmy, well, the Democrats are capable of tearing themselves apart, sir.
Yeah. Well, my last question is, and I hang up, well, who is the next Trump? You know?
Who was,
you know,
what?
In eight, well, 60, you know, in, you know, at some point, it, you know, it, all this is going to end. So who out there is the next Trump?
The next Trump.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thanks. So, thank you for your call, Jimmy. I appreciate it. That's a really good question. I don't know. Seriously, I mean, you look out there at, when Ron Paul was the leading libertarian, well, when his son became elected to the Senate, Rand Paul, he's not a doctrinaire libertarian, but Rand Paul was he's the next voice of the libertarian viewpoint. Okay, we understood that. And you look down the line, let's say Bernie gives it one more shot, and I doubt that Bernie is going to be able to run again in 2024, maybe, but we'll see how healthy he feels. But, I mean, there is an age limit there at some point. But then you've got a host of young super liberals coming along, the Kamala Harrises and even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who will be technically, legally old enough to run for president in 2024. So you can see where the next ultra-liberal is coming from, the next socially conservative Republican, probably Mike Pence or others out there who certainly could be considered. The Republicans are not lacking for people coming along. Who is the next Trump? And you've got to keep in mind that the next Trump is not so much somebody in terms of viewpoint, because Donald Trump's always had, shall we say, a great versatility of conviction. He's been all over the map on viewpoints. Trump is a personality. He's a force of nature. He's an in-your-face, don't-mess-with-me kind of person. Who's the next Trump? Great question. I don't know. I don't see one. Now, I'll guarantee you this. There will be any number of people who will try to be the next Trump. I don't think that that's a case of trying. I think that either you got it or you don't. And I think there are any number of people who will try to be the next Trump. That is to say, they will be more nationalistic. They will be more along the policy lines that Donald Trump has tended to follow, but they won't have his gift for grabbing the attention of the country, his gift for tweeting, his gift for attention getting. And that's a large part of what politicians do. Dig me. I mean, it's pretty much the same definition as being a stand-up comedian. You attract attention. Who is the next Trump? Boy, I don't know. I've heard some people say good things about Senator Tom Cotton being the next Trump. I don't know. I'm interviewing him in another job that I have in the not-too-distant future, and I'll sort of be thinking about that. But that is a real question, because obviously once November of 2007 is out of the way, November of 2020 is out of the way, Donald Trump's electoral history is over. Win or lose, he's not running for anything again. So, who is the next Trump? I think that it would be very helpful for Republicans to start looking for that person. If you like what you see in Donald Trump, it's not as easy as it is for the libertarians I mentioned or the ultra-leftists I mentioned. You got people coming along. But the next Trump, much more an attitude than necessarily a set of policies, and I don't know. I'll guarantee you this. There will be a lot of people auditioning. No sooner is the 2020 election over, and whether Trump wins or loses, I'll guarantee you that a lot of Republicans will be pushing for that. Right off the bat, you looked at 2024. Right off the bat, you can certainly include, and I'm not saying that these people are the next Trump, but these people are definitely in the race for the presidential nomination in 2024. Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Mike Pence. Those are your three big names right off the bat. And the minute the 2020 election is over, those names, you will increasingly see Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Mike Pence developing a tremendous love for Iowa, New Hampshire, yeah, South Carolina, too. We have an early state primary most years. We'll see how next year breaks out. So those are the people who will be auditioning. But Cruz is not a Trump. I think Ted Cruz is a good man, but he's not a Trump. Certainly Marco Rubio is not Donald Trump. Marco Rubio is far too diplomatic. And quite frankly, Mike Pence, although he's no marshmallow, but he's just not, he doesn't have the in-your-face persona of a Trump. So all those people are going to be strong favorites for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. But none of them is the next Donald Trump. So Jimmy in Spartanburg posted a really good question that we all ought to be thinking about. Who is the next Trump? Gosh, I don't know. I have a texter here says that one of Trump's sons will run after his second term. Yeah, maybe. I think that probably if you're planning on a presidential dynasty, you might want to run for something else first, like W was the governor of Texas before he became president. I don't think that either of his sons would be anywhere near running for president just out of nowhere. It wouldn't hurt if you had a little experience. Or then again, maybe we're in the era when experience doesn't matter. Whatever. In any event, this is Jim Bohannon in for Bob McLean, and we've got our Good Friday wrapping up here in the not-too-distant future. Time now on the old TikTok on the wall is 5:45 at 106.3 WORD. Oh, that would be yours truly here, the old special guest host trick there. And always a pleasure to have you on board this afternoon. It's 10 minutes now before 6 o'clock. Good Friday is our official date. Comes once a year, of course. And Jim Bohannon in for Bob McLean at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We're at 106.3WORD.com, don't forget. I've listened to us all over the country. And our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. And a texter says with exclamation points, Ted Cruz for 2024 and 2028. I think that's extremely possible, and that wouldn't bother me a bit. He would do better against the crazy socialists like AOC and others. Yeah, he would. Ted Cruz certainly has one attribute. He's not a person to climb into his face. I mean, I wouldn't want to be the person who climbed into his face, okay? I think he would do quite well. He did survive, of course, in 2018, which means that his Senate seat will be up in 2024. But Texas has a Lyndon Johnson law. And so does Connecticut. When Lyndon Johnson was nominated for vice president back in 1960, and of course Lyndon had, shall we say, a certain amount of pull in the state capital of Austin, he wanted to hedge his bets. He wasn't at all sure that John Kennedy was going to win that race, and of course it was very tight. So he was not about to give up his Senate seat. So he had them pass a law that you could appear twice on the ballot. So Lyndon Johnson in 1960 ran for vice president and at the same time, on the same ballot, ran for re-election to the U.S. Senate, and he won both races. So then he resigned his Senate seat. Then you go to the 2000 presidential election, and Joe Lieberman was Al Gore's running mate. Connecticut had a similar law, so that when Lieberman was nominated, he for vice president, he also got on the ballot as a person running for re-election to the U.S. Senate, and was still a Democrat at that time. So he was on the ballot twice. In his case, he didn't win both races; lost the vice presidency, of course, to Dick Cheney, but he did win re-election to the Senate. Texas, as far as I know, still has the Lyndon Johnson law, so Ted Cruz could run for president and for re-election to the Senate in 2024. If he won the presidency, of course, he would resign the Senate seat. And, that would not bother me at all. Another texter here, let's see here. James Wood is only one with the attitude needed to be the next Trump. The rest are shrinking violets. Well, the actor, certainly a bright guy, went to MIT. No dummy. And if you're into people who have never been politicians ever in their lives, with all the attendant mistakes that can go with that, well, you could do a lot worse than James Woods, I would think. Let's see here. Another texter, my gut says Ivanka and Candace Owens in 2024. Well, I don't think so. Another texter, Ivanka would have the best chance of the Trump kids, first female, Trump name well-respected. Well, if we're really going to vote for dynasties, I suppose, I'm not, again, I doubt seriously I would vote for her. If we have a decent choice of candidates, I would vote for somebody with more of a track record, but be that as it may. Who knows? Maybe. I haven't heard her indicate one way or the other thoughts about a political future. Another texter, one of the Trump sons would run after his second term. Maybe. We'll see. I just am not that certain that we're ready for a dynasty here, but maybe so. It's always a question just exactly what we're prepared to do, and I don't know. I'm not sure what it is that we really want to do in this country anymore. Possible? That one of the Trump kids would run. Again, just the fact that it's the name, I just don't think that that is sufficient. Candace Owens, a lot of people, the black female commentator. She's director of communications at the conservative advocacy group Turning Point USA. I could see her. One little problem here, let's see. Yeah, she would just barely be old enough. She would just barely be old enough in 2024. So, she would. In fact, she's about the same age as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Wouldn't that be a race? Two barely 35-year-old women going at it. That would be something. Yeah, Candace Owens, I would have no problem with her. I think I might prefer her maybe being on the ticket. I think that would be my tendency on the ticket. Let's talk to Dave in Spartanburg. Hello, Dave. Good afternoon.
Hello, Bob. I'm sorry. Hello, Jim. Like say, Happy Easter, everybody. And I would say anybody who tries to run that ran against Trump is pretty well emasculated, because the insults he threw at him can just be thrown at him again, and they can't. They'll have to take it. So,
well, but I mean, who cares? I mean, little Marco. I mean, that was such a sophomore comment that I don't hold that against Marco Rubio.
Ted's wife looks like a hound dog. I mean, you know, people.
I'll be honest with you. I just can't cast my vote in such a simplistic way. I thought that was among Trump's worst moments. I mean, you know, would you grow up, Donald, and stop acting like you're in middle school?
Yeah, but I know, but he acted that way and he got elected, so it seems like it.
Well, but I'm not sure he got elected because of it or in spite of it. I'll put it this way.
Either way, he got elected.
If we wind up with that kind of sophomoric boys' room, middle school type of thing being tossed around, that automatically is a vote from me for the other person. I mean, you may be right. Maybe you're right, but I'll guarantee you won't. They won't be getting my vote. I thought that was – I was much happier when Trump got back to actually saying things about the issues than these stupid little nicknames that he handed out to people. We'll see. That's a very good point that Dave brings up. Will anybody hold that against him? Not me. I thought that was absolutely the dumbest part of the Trump campaign. We'll see. Jimbo for Bobby Mack. 3 minutes now before 6 o'clock at 106.3.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.